Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. It's so good to see you all here today. Brave people. It's a bit chilly outside, and it's not a heat wave in here either. But anyway, welcome to Alamo, the place to be on Sundays. And for anyone looking for a new church home, just one to visit or forever, we're located at 4071 North Foster Road in San Antonio. Join us any Sunday to check us out at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Everyone is welcome. The scripture selected for our opening worship this morning is Psalm 23, taken from the King James Version of our Bible. This particular Bible, this one, was given to Hector Martinez by Pastor George on December 7 of 2014. One day this past month, Hector passed it on to me, and I told him I was going to use it in the pulpit this morning. So anyway, there's a reason for it. And I'll start with a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And since I'm wearing two hats today and bald-headed too, but a pastoral prayer. We don't even have to change a microphone. Dear Father, our God, we thank you this day for being the shepherd who guides us, who provides for us, who comforts us. How thankful we are that in Christ you have given us the privilege of dwelling in your house, of being citizens of your kingdom. At this season of Lent, we reflect. Please remind us of the great cost which our Lord Jesus paid to ransom us from evil's graft. Make us ever more aware of our own responsibility to share his love with others, not as a burdensome duty, but as a joyous act of thanksgiving. Even as Christ gave himself for us, empower us to give ourselves for the cause of your kingdom. And we ask this in the name of the one who died in order that we might live. Amen.
Will you stand for our opening hymn? God of grace and God of glory. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Round thine ancient church's glory, bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Though the host of evil round us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways. Fears and doubts too long have filled our hearts to work and grace. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the living of these days. For the living of these days. Where the children congregation, please be seated.
Good morning. All right, so we've got some birthdays coming up. We've got Jane Vigil on the 23rd, Gregory Russell on the 23rd also, Colleen Miller on the 25th, and Destiny Neal on the 26th. So we shall sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you, and many more. All right, I believe we have some announcements.
A few. Do encourage you to look at the calendar on the back of the bulletin. There are a lot of places where you can become more involved. Please take the opportunity to join us in some of these. And particularly, I would like to invite everyone for all of the food activities that we have coming up. On Thursday, the lunch bunch at Formosa Garden, and I was told that I better not forget that. So also, Romeo and Juliet's fellowship groups meet on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock at Sophia's, right across from HEB on 78. And 11 o'clock on Thursday. 11 o'clock on Thursday. Thank you for keeping me straight. 9 o'clock on Saturday. It's a good time to enjoy a quiet breakfast. Usually quiet, and a time of fellowship, and talk to some friends. It was a little sparse yesterday. We kind of had a combined Romeo and Juliet yesterday. There were two women and me. So please come out and join us. The time of food and fellowship, that's very traditional. I believe that that Brother Gene has some announcements that he wants to give this morning.
Thank you, Tom. And my announcement is very personal, but also about a member of our congregation. Elaine is, she's been under the weather, so to speak, for about 3 months. And this past Friday, two things happened. One, I discovered that I have to be gone when she's in therapy, because otherwise the slightest little thing distracts her, and there's one word that comes out of her mouth, and that's, and it takes a long time for her to get back into whatever they're supposedly doing. But while I was not there and minding my manners and staying at home, last Friday during her afternoon therapy, she stood up and walked 3 steps. That's a miracle. Thank you all for your prayers, and I'm sure that if any of us going in for a visit would distract her for a bit, but, she's getting over it. She can actually talk in full sentences now in a clear voice. She can eat with either hand. I thought she was a northpaw, but no, she can do just as good left-handed. So her brain is coming back to life, thank God.
Praise God. Thank you, Gene. Yes, Homer. Oh, I see the lady. I'll save you a few steps. We have Easter lilies on order, and you know, please get your orders in for those so that we can have time to type up the remembrances and honor ofs, and so that our sanctuary will be filled with glory of the Easter lilies on Easter morning. Also, Easter morning, I do invite you to start out your day at 7 o'clock with sunrise service, as we see the sunrise over Walmart. When we first started out, Walmart wasn't there, but please join us for that, and also for the breakfast following. Now, Ann, I believe, has signed up for items for the breakfast, particularly wants breakfast casseroles, fresh fruit, things of that nature, and muffins, and those would be good. The biscuits and gravy and sausage will be provided on that. It'll be a good old hearty breakfast. And your ticket for breakfast is to bring your chair in from sunrise service. That way we have less labor in getting things back the way they're supposed to. But before we get to Easter, do mark your calendars for Holy Week activities. We will have a Maundy Thursday service, and since Ted's not here, I'm not sure of the time. It's probably 6:30, and we will again have a Good Friday service, and please mark your calendars for those two events so that you may come worship with us in preparation for Resurrection Day. Are there others? Yes, ma'am.
In addition to those events, for Holy Week, please plan to attend.
This is better? Any better? Okay, I'll just turn the volume up. In addition to those Holy Week offerings that Tom just mentioned, please plan to be here for Palm Sunday as well. There will be a special skit that Pastor will be offering for during sermon time that includes our children. And it'll be a welcome treat to have the story of Palm Sunday given to our children here up in front and to children of all ages out there. Thanks.
You know, as we get ready to start our worship time, please look around you. Look to your left, right, in front of you, behind you. There's a lot of folks there. Make sure that you find several that you will greet before you leave here.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ's example of a man who worked the works of God and who used every precious moment to carry out your will through his life. I pray that we may follow his example in our lives in complete submission to your indwelling Holy Spirit. Give us the opportunity to share the gospel of reconciliation with others, knowing that the night is coming when none of us will be able to work. I pray that the good work that you started in us at salvation will be completed to your praise and glory at the coming of Christ.
Let us pray. Generous God, you tenderly care for each person you have created. You miraculously restore people to health and shine light into the lives of those who are discouraged. Guide us so that we will not regard others according to outward appearances, but seek to find your love in their hearts. We dedicate our offerings and ourselves to contribute to the work of your kingdom on earth until Christ returns in glory. Amen. Of the length of the reading today, you may be seated for this. The reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, starting in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, it only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened, they asked. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud in my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but now he can see. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now this is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Zafon is not in this morning. as a rare occurrence. So listen to this prayer. Holy Jesus, we confess that we failed to question our own sightlessness. Being so sure that we see, we miss the truths you would teach us. With the poultice of your love, cure this blindness. Open our eyes to our own misunderstandings, our own failures, and our own faults. Make our shadow side known to us and help us to diminish it with the light of your grace. For it is only when we see ourselves clearly that we can worship you truly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Please, join me in prayer. Father Creator, we come thirsting. We come during this time of Lent, seeking. We ask, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on Brother Gene. Let the message that your Spirit has given to him ring from all the walls of this place. Give him courage to speak your word. Let his words be your word. And further, Lord, let us hear with the power of your Spirit opening our ears so that we may be bathed in your message and that we may take your message to a hurting world. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the hymnal, but you should be able to see it up on the wall. Please join me in this historic creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
My message this morning is entitled, Are We Blind? Nothing original. But that's okay. I promise not to repeat myself more than 10 times on any one topic. But start with a prayer. Dear Lord, Almighty God, I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And just as a thought check to everybody. How is your Lenten discipline going? Probably about like mine. I mean, there's some that will do everything that the tradition says, and some of us tend to forget. But that's okay. I end each day wishing I hadn't forgotten everything. But speaking of forgetting things, I have to back up a few months and correct an error that I committed right here in this pulpit in the presence of everyone who was here that Sunday. And because I'm a local pastor, I have a mentor pastor who is appointed by the district superintendent and whose role is to keep track of things I do, good or bad, right or wrong, and to advise me of his or her observations. My mentor is a retiree from this congregation, and I believe he's listening to our service right now. And in my sermon on July 24 of 2022, my subject was personal baptism. One person who's here today commented that I had researched my topic well for that sermon. Thank you. And it's about the most important thing that can be accomplished for us, either as an infant or as an adult, that being holy baptism. But my mentor told me I had left off two items that I should have included in my things to do for those who were present that day. Hey, when I first started into ministry at preaching, I gave everybody homework assignments every day. Since then, it's gotten kind of boring, so I don't. So I was corrected. The first thing, if you are a baptized person, no matter when or at what age it was accomplished, plan to attend a baptismal renewal service as often as possible, or at least frequently. And there's a Wesleyan Covenant renewal service conducted here each New Year's Eve by Tom Kincaid. It is a beautiful service and so worthy of everyone's time. Now, for anyone present then or now who is not a baptized Christian, okay, I got to tell you what to do. Talk to Pastor Ted. He can resolve that for anyone who speaks to him about it. And I know he preaches almost every Sunday and sometimes during the week. And one of the things he does is, anybody has anything to say to any of us, come on up here and do it. Well, that's a perfect opportunity to tell him anything you want to tell him, I think. And if he hears me say that, well, now it's about time for me to start on today's sermon. But first, are the Cowboys playing today? What about the Spurs? Oh boy, there's no dead time. Oh, goody, goody. I don't have to share. Folks, friends, it is such an honor to be here today in this pulpit, selecting from four of the most beautiful sermon scriptures I could possibly put together for today, March 19, 2023, the fourth Sunday of Lent. How fortunate can I be? The designated scriptures for today, according to the Revised Common Lectionary, 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13, and no, I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell you some of the things it says. But one of the hot things in it is God rejected Saul as continuing as the king of Israel and told Samuel to go to a sheep farmer named Jesse in Bethlehem and to anoint one of his sons as the new king. I'll get to that in a moment. The second scripture for this morning is the 23rd Psalm, which was the opening scripture, and I believe also the most beautiful piece of scripture that David contributed to us. The third scripture is Ephesians 5, 8 to 14, one of St. Paul's finest. And last but certainly not least by any measure comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. Thank you, Tom. But I do expect to use parts of all of these, and I don't have to reserve supper. We'll be out on time, I think. A long time ago, somebody told me that the reason the Christian leadership in the 11th century selected four scriptures for every Sunday was so that we could always get a balanced service, a good message. I don't know if I can do all of that, but there really was a reason to ask about the sports activities for this afternoon. I don't want to cheat them out of any of their presumed TV time. And by the way, the second scripture is David's best contribution to our Bible, Psalm 23, in God's own words. I grew up hearing that it was good enough for Moses and Jesus, it ought to be good enough for us. And, oh well, My title for this morning's sermon is, Are We Blind? Are we? Or do we just not perceive in our conscious mind what our natural vision picks out of our surroundings? I've been told for at least a dozen years that I have selective hearing, but do I also have selective seeing? I don't know. In the Samuel scripture, most of us are probably familiar. Samuel, who was dedicated by his mother, Hannah, at a very early age to be raised in the temple and to serve there forever. Hannah was one of two wives of Elkanah. The other, Peninnah, had children, but Hannah was said to be barren because she had no children. She was extremely sad, and she prayed constantly for a child. Each year, the family went up to the temple to pray and to sacrifice for the Lord. And on one such occasion, Eli the priest noticed Hannah standing there praying so fervently that Eli thought she was drunk and spoke to her about it. And Hannah replied that she had neither drunk wine or strong drink, but was without child and was a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and had poured out her soul before the Lord. Eli said to Hannah, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. The family went up to the temple in Shiloh each year, as was their custom. But Hannah did not go up again until the child was weaned. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and took also several offerings and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh when the child was young. And Hannah said to Eli, O my Lord, I am the woman who stood by here praying to the Lord for this child. I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have lent him unto the Lord, for as long as he lives, he shall be lent unto the Lord. There's much more in the scripture from Samuel. He was sent by the Lord to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the next king of Israel, replacing Saul, whom God had rejected. Well, Samuel had Jesse bring all of his sons by, one by one, down to and including his youngest, David, who had to be brought in from tending the sheep. When David was anointed as king in front of his family, it changed his entire course of life. He went from being a shepherd boy to being someone with great responsibilities and a long future. David became a man who looked inward, as some of his psalms show. He wanted to serve both God and his people. Yes, he was a man just like most of us. He had his good days and bad, but he always turned back to God. And from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus, we have some of possibly or even probably the finest guidance given to us by this author. Maybe or likely, this reading was meant for me personally. If anyone feels led by this scripture, read it and follow it. For once, starting with verse 8, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Boy, have I got things to live up to. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wow. something to live up to. The reading from chapter 9 of John, thank you, Tom, tells us a good deal about the religious turmoil that once the blind man and his relatives underwent because some people could not accept that Jesus is and was and will always be the person, the Son of God. I need to get better glasses, or I'll stand closer to the microphone. I don't know which. The story of the man born blind and his healing is a summary of the stages in Christian enlightenment. First, God reaches out to us in our spiritual blindness with some new mud or whatever God chooses to use, and he recreates us, thus opening our eyes. The act of putting mud on the blind man's eyes and tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam also remind us of the rituals of anointing and baptism, often called illumination in the early church. You can come up with lots of good reasons to do what you want to do. The blind man came back able to see, according to verse 7. Then the neighbors argued about whether this was the same man. He alone kept saying, "I am the man. Don't confuse me." So they took him to the Pharisees, who also argued about whether he was the blind man. And the story is being told long after Jesus' death by an early Christian community that has experienced all the stages of insight described in it. How can we know this? Because it says in verse 18, "The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind. They called and questioned and threatened his parents, who, it says, were afraid of the Jews, for already they had agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus as the Messiah would be put out of the synagogues." But everybody in the story is a Jew. But the Christians telling the story much later don't call the temple authorities Pharisees anymore. They call them Jews because as Christians who had been thrown out of the temple and the synagogues, they distinguished themselves not just from the Pharisees, but from all of this group of Jews. Anybody they didn't like, they're different. We need to frequently examine our own attitudes and motives. Otherwise, we may become somewhat empty and petty. Life swirls around us at a pace that's almost unbelievable. Change is everywhere. We can be tempted to get into a rut and stay there. Samuel, David, and the people around them had to keep their perceptions open to changes under new circumstances. Their faith pushed them back and to look not just outward circumstances, but at their inner needs and God's ways. Our faith helps us look inward at the grace of God and the morally correct activities. Anyone can see the obvious. Gee, it's easy. Only our eyes of faith can help us see the not so obvious. To answer a question I've often had asked of me when I stop for a drink. No, that's not gin. The story in our gospel reading tells of a man who was born blind and of his healing. It's a summary of some of the stages of Christian enlightenment. First, according to our sources, God reaches out to us in our blindness and with some new resources recreates us. God changes us by changing our blindness or tunnel vision to new vision, observing changes in our environment. And frequently we don't know what has happened or why or how, but we know something has changed. Thank God. Our realignment may have been done so subtly that we may have noticed some approaches to us are ever so slightly different. In the early church, there were a couple of rituals that supposedly would make us think everyone around us had changed. We may have been invited to a holy retreat where we learned that there were new ways of doing things. And then we, having been trained and anointed or consecrated and maybe even baptized, if we hadn't already received this sacrament, but most of all, we have become members of an elite group. You're in the in crowd. Wow, what a neat thing for them to do. We're given a special new role to control something that we had thought of as a self-motivating program that just happened by rote. It's kind of like when I stepped forward to become an usher in my then church in Lewisville, Texas. I was a hero. Yay, I'd stepped in. I didn't think so. I was just doing something that needed doing. Now, may the God of Samuel, David, Paul, and John be with us and guide us to see the real picture and assure us repeatedly that our Lord Jesus is, was, and will forever remain the Messiah who came to our planet to show us the way to spend eternity with Him. Thanks be to God. Amen.
During our hymn of invitation, if God is calling you in any way, please take this time to prayerfully consider where God is leading you. If you have concerns, if you need prayer, the rail is open. We will be available to pray with you. If you want to dedicate your life to God, or rededicate yourself at this time, please come forward. Let us know what is in your heart and how we can help you.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? Precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead us on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the dark appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, and the river ascend, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Congregation, please be seated.
When you leave here, do take your bulletin with you. take time to reflect on those that need to know the healing touch of God. Take a moment to pray for those that we have listed here and for those that you know of that need prayer. For those that have not heard, I do need to let you know that our brother Jim McMillan passed away last night. He is now in the hands of Jesus, and we will miss his presence, but we know that in glory he stands healed. Homer did ask that we pray for his friend, Reverend Gregory Puente, who is now in hospice. So, Lord, hear our prayer. So often we think of all of the things that we need to ask. But at the same time, we praise God for showing us his healing touch in so many areas, for giving us comfort when we are troubled. And do take the time to always praise him for that. We do want to keep our church members uplifted. Those that are listed in the bulletin, please take time to go over those. We ask for continued healing for those in our congregation, those that could not be with us because of illness. Of course, John Austin has been down for a while. And for recovery, speedy recovery from surgery, the rehabilitation process sometimes takes longer than any of us would like. Of course, Tessie Robinson did have surgery, as did Keith Sauter, and we do pray for a quick healing for those also. And it was good to hear progress in Elaine, because we are anxious to get her back into our presence again. When you go to God in prayer, please remember that so many people out there sacrifice so that we may have and enjoy the life that we live. Our first responders, our military, our doctors, nurses, and hospital staff that selflessly put their concerns, their lives in the background so that we may find peace and joy. Most of the ones that I have listed here are listed again in your bulletin. So again, I encourage you, take your bulletin with you. And not only take it with you, leave it in the car or something like that, use it during your prayer time during the week.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we go from here today, let us remember all those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in a way that keeps them away from here especially. Be friendly, be safe, and let us join together again next Sunday. And I believe Pastor Ted will be back, yes. And we will listen to the message and live with it. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, since Pastor Ted isn't here, I have to do something extemporaneously. My typewriter failed me. But, dear God, be with us each this day and forever. Keep us safe in all things that we do, dear Lord. Bring us together again next week. And in the meantime, Lord, watch over us and help us to be attentive to others who need something that we can give with no great strain, just giving a gift of some sort to help someone in a better position. And Lord, we ask that you watch over us each this day and forever. Keep us always in your care and bring us together as you wish. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have been in thy hand and provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have been in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hopes for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is